Shalom and Happy New Year to all, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your happy to be here co-host with our teacher and ongoing student of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. So glad you decided to join us today at the beginning of a new year on the Gregorian calendar, 1 year closer to the return of our Savior. Yay. Okay. We're going to start out with a prayer as we always do. Let's ask our precious Father, as we do every week, to bless tonight's program. And our goal is to help the body of Christ grow deeper in Him with a greater passion every day, especially because we here at Shofar Ministries really do believe we are in the final days before the catching up of His saints. And tonight's program will add to your belief as well. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to be on the air. We thank you for your word, your living word, Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, He's the Savior of the entire world. And He is the soon to come King. We thank you for all our listeners. And may all those listening tonight be blessed in a special way. And all those that write us and call us, Father, with their requests for healing, for deliverance, and financial help, we ask you in the name of your Son to bring them relief. And we ask all this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, for that great intro and prayer. And God bless all the listeners tonight as we begin to discuss Babylon, especially its spiritual side, its origin, progression, and particularly its application to us, the End Time Church.
Great. And, of course, the phone lines are open should you have any questions on the end times. Phone number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Word. Easy enough. And a reminder that this Friday is the first Friday of the month. And what happens the first Friday? We're always at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306, Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m. For a great teaching from Sheila and Messianic Worship, with at least one Hebrew song included.
We sing Hebrew.
Yes, we do. We think that's important.
The perfect language that we'll be singing and talking in the Millennial Kingdom.
That's right.
So we're just getting a good start on it.
Come out and join
us,
please.
Very pleasing to the Lord. Very, very, very. Very. And, you know, every time this year, my resolution, as well as yours, John, we resolve to get closer to Him and to know Him better, right?
Oh, yes.
And since Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, according to Revelation 19:10, the more we study, particularly the prophetic scriptures, the deeper we will know His truth. And I must say, I have fulfilled last year's resolution. I do know more about Him, and I'm certainly more sure that He's returning in my generation than I did last year. But I am again planning to know more about Him by this time next year as well. How about you, John?
Yes, same for me. My desires are more passionate, just like yours. And I think it's the excitement of hearing the sound of the last trumpet soon and very soon.
That's a good song. Can we really play? Hey, let's play that song at our break time tonight. Maybe Derek can look that up.
Okay, that's good.
I like that song. We haven't heard it in a while. Anyhow, His desire for us, Jesus' desire for us, His church, His beloved, is that we continue to know Him more. That's another song.
Mm-hmm.
Know Him better. And that is why He keeps giving us more clues to His end time saints. So our expectations of His calling us up to meet Him in the air are strong. And why should they be strong?
They should be strong.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people out there that just say, oh, well, when it happens, it happens. That makes my blood boil, I have to tell you.
It's not a good attitude at all.
It's nonchalant. It shows that you're lazy and you don't want to study. That's really what it says. I'm just going to say it like it is.
That is true. So why should we not expect it? So we should look forward to His coming so He can present us with the crown of righteousness that Paul told Timothy about.
That's right.
So there's reward in this.
He told us that we are to be looking for him, expecting him, anxiously awaiting him, I think Hebrews says.
Yes.
So anyway, actually, this was Paul's final few words in closing to his last in his last letter to Timothy.
Yeah, and that was his execution. Paul's execution was
coming,
impending there. Mm-hmm. Those important words he chose.
That's right. And don't we always?
Mm-hmm.
Church, anyone out there listening, we should also be like the sons of Issachar. These were men that had understanding of the times to know what they ought to do. And it says it right there in 1 Chronicles 12:32. And while we are talking about men of understanding, Jesus as well rebuked the whole city as he wept and said,
"If you only, or if you had only known, even you, especially in this, your day, things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes."
That's in Luke 19:42.
They're hidden.
That's right, because they should have known. That's what he's rebuking them.
Yes.
And he's saying the same to us. I've given you enough clues. It's all there. You should know. And yet there's a lot of the church members that are in la-la land.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are not personally searching the scriptures yourself, truths will be hidden from you.
Did you hear that? Truths will be hidden from you.
There's no doubt.
And then you run the risk of being deceived.
Because you don't have all your armor on that you get from being in the Word.
That's right.
And still in Luke, continuing in verse 44, after Jesus tells them about the soon attack on the temple and the people, he further adds,
"Because you did not know the time of your visitation."
That's right. Wow. Those are heavy words.
Now, he would not say that if it weren't possible to know.
That's right. That's right.
Because
you did not know the time. Wow.
That speaks.
Amos 3:7 says that he does nothing without revealing it first through the prophets. Now, these are the inspired men, the Nabi, and it means the prophets of the scriptures. It's all in the scriptures.
It's the scriptural prophets, the Navi'im.
That's right, because so many people now today who are actually false prophets are out there on the traveling circle and saying, "The Lord told me this, and by the way, he doesn't do anything without first telling us prophets."
Are they saying that?
I've heard that myself in my own ears.
That command, you know, that God gave the prophets, they said if what they prophesy and it does not come to pass, the penalty for that in the Old Testament was they were to be
stoned
or actually executed. And, you know, that wasn't taken lightly. Thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
And now they're taking this lightly? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're believing it.
Yes.
They're believing these people that say, "Well, the Lord told me this, and he's not going to do anything without telling us first."
And what happens when they're wrong, which they often are?
Often.
What happens?
99%.
Yes. Well, I mean, how do you...
John, we can't go around stoning people.
Right.
However, once they're wrong,
yes,
you set them aside and you don't listen to them anymore. You go on to those that have a proven track record of never having one wrong prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can believe it.
Yes.
Until you know that they don't. And usually it always confirms the Bible anyway. I mean, it's nothing new.
Right.
But you know what? I just have to say that I got a few emails this week, and I am very glad that some of you tell me you can't wait until Tuesdays because it is part of your Bible study time, and that does encourage me greatly. And I love to get your emails. Feel free, Sheila@showfireministries.net.
Before we get started, now I know you have some news for us tonight. Like, what can we expect from this new year, 2013?
Well, it's pretty gloomy, but only from a world's view. Because everything is setting the stage for this one world leader to save them. And before this one world leader comes on the scene, we will be gone.
Oh.
So it's not gloomy for us.
No, it's not.
He'll come as a thief to those that aren't righteous.
And that aren't expecting him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But not to us.
Not to us. We're excited.
I'm excited, as you can tell. I'm very excited. I'm always excited.
It took me a few years of learning prophecy and stuff, but now I can honestly say...
Prophecy will get you excited.
I'm excited.
You know, if you're dealing with depression or any of those things, you get into the Word with prophecy, and it'll make you excited.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, well, today's January 1st, and I understand we did go over the fiscal cliff, by the way.
Oh, we did?
Well, no.
I didn't feel hitting the bottom, did you?
No, I know, but you will.
Oh.
But Barack Obama wanted it that way so that all the taxes could be raised.
Hmm.
Now, supposedly some deal's been made. I don't know if it's gone through the House yet, but they did make a little bit of compromise. But mostly, Barack Obama wants higher taxes and no spending cuts.
Hmm.
And it's just the opposite for the House or the Republicans. They want less taxes and lots of spending cuts. But no spending cuts are in the making, and we're going to continue to send billions of dollars to terrorists and unnecessary programs.
Mm-hmm.
But BO wants to cut spending in the military. Now, that he will do.
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard about its new training manual?
No, I haven't.
You can say nothing to offend Islam or gays. Nothing.
I don't know about that one. That doesn't sound too encouraging to me.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
But again, it's just all part of the end time scenario. So, you can expect your health care costs to start rising.
Oh, wonderful.
The good doctors are retiring as the quality of health care diminishes. But those that are on welfare, the benefits will increase. The 40-hour work week will probably go down to 29 hours, so employers don't have to pay for your health care. Because if you are full-time, it's mandatory that the employers pay for your health care.
That's what happened when they changed the minimum wage, too, and the overtime laws and things like that. Employers just said, mm-hmm. you're going to work less hours.
That's right. So when they drop you down to 29 hours, not only will you be making less money,
mm-hmm.
but you will have to pay your own health care.
Right.
And it'll be based on the money that you make every week. Now, if you don't pay it, if you say, I opt out, which you have a right to do, you still have to pay a fee, which is like a tax,
mm-hmm.
okay? But from what I understand, a lot of people will just go ahead and pay the fee because they can't afford health care. And then if they get sick, they can join up at any time because there's no pre-existing clause.
Okay, clause for pre-existing,
right.
excluding
right.
pre-existing conditions. Well, that's sort of good, but it sounds pretty intrusive as far as government goes.
Well, it'll just, again, it's
the not
whole
going
idea
to work.
Is that our debt is raising and we're going to fall at some point in time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is just wishful thinking. I don't think it's going to work the way they say it is going
That's right.
to.
But again, if you're very poor welfare or even illegal immigrants, I understand, won't have to pay at all.
That's kind of like an incentive to stay poor.
Well, that's the whole idea.
Oh.
That is the whole idea of socialism.
Mm-hmm.
You're either very rich or you're poor.
Mm. Yeah, socialism at its worst is not pretty.
Mm-mm. Look at Greece. But anyway, all costs of goods are going to rise. Milk, $8 a gallon is soon.
I'm getting my own cow.
Real inflation is on the way. And you better buy that extra flour right now. Soon you will be making your own bread.
Sheila, you know I'm doing that now.
I know, and it's very good bread, too, by the way.
Thank you.
So our liberties are continually eroding, and the Second Amendment, which was really put in the Constitution to protect from a tyrannical government, is under attack. So we're going to have some kind of gun control very soon, and of course, starting with all assault weapons. But when the militia comes to your door, do you think your pistol will protect you?
Hardly.
No.
No, it's not going to do it. Thomas Jefferson, a person that was so wise and so intelligent, and we need people like him today, he said the strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government.
Yeah. That's why it's there. That's why it's in the
That's
Constitution.
That's why it's in the Constitution. It's not so that we can go hunting.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington said firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. And you know what, John? Besides, the criminals are still going to get what they need.
Well, they
probably
all,
easier.
The criminals always get guns, no matter what kind of laws there are, because
right.
They're criminals.
Yeah, and through the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can't protect ourselves. And now I understand there's even a website that marks out everybody who owns a gun at this point. So then the criminals know which people don't.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Well, we really, honestly, cannot protect ourselves. Even if we had a whole basement full of firearms, but only God can really do that.
Only God.
Only God.
Praise Jesus.
Yes.
And Amen. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6, to worry for nothing. And who was he speaking to?
He was speaking to his own, the righteous.
Yeah, and we mm-hmm. know that because he even says, don't be as the Gentiles. And he refers to them. As them or they. You know, so he was talking to us.
Yes, he was. Yes, so. He was. So I almost hate to ask this, but what's the latest on Syria?
Getting kind of tired about it, huh?
Yeah, well, it's ongoing.
Well, I'm going to spare
Chronic.
The details. All I know is that they're still fighting in Syria, but now there's reports of sarin-like gas being used on both sides of the aisle. Assad, though, is just not giving in, and it's because he has some great allies, like Iran, Russia, and even Lebanon. Hezbollah's over there.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels confident.
Well, that drama's going to continue for a while. How about Egypt? Now, I know there's a lot going on there.
Oh, and I also wanted to mention how Russia has said that no more can Americans adopt Russian children.
Now, why did he do that?
I think he's mad at Obama.
For what, I wonder?
I can't remember now.
I think it's probably over Syria. Something
it probably has something to do with that.
Yeah, I think it does.
Gun running or something like that.
Now, good old Egypt, now we've interfered in Egypt so much. What's happening there?
Well, now that Egypt's referendum on a new constitution fraudulently passed, Sharia law is slowly being implemented at even a higher scale. 100,000 Coptic Christians have fled for their life,
mm-hmm.
many gotten killed, and women's rights are all but gone.
That's Sharia law for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, I don't know if a lot of people understand this, but right here in the United States, Islam is growing amazingly fast, and will continue, of course, as under Obama. In fact, I just read where the prisoners in America are converting to Islam at a high speed because when they go to court, the courts are more lenient to them and they get out faster.
Hmm.
And also what's happening right now, hidden in our rural neighborhoods of America, many on the East Coast and in Ohio around Columbus, and they're all protected under the guise of religious freedom, are these Muslim compounds.
Hmm.
Big compounds in the rural areas across our land. And they're preparing our own citizens to wage war soon on America. I am not kidding you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually very young men who are dedicated. And if they're very dedicated, they get to travel to Pakistan for more intense training. But I saw pictures. It is really incredible, these big camps, compound things, and they're training our American boys to fight to attack us at some point.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, we cannot say it enough. Our blessed hope is coming soon, and we're not to worry, right?
That's right, and please pray. Please pray for the Muslims that many of them get saved. I just feel so bad because they're so brainwashed.
Yes.
You know, to believing the lie.
Well, from birth, they are. And also, there was a horrible incident about somebody pushing in front of a subway train, somebody who they thought was a Muslim.
I saw that.
Stuff like that is terrible.
I know. We should pray for them
talking to them about the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, anyway, I'm sorry to bring that up. That was kind
yeah,
of sad.
Well, it's the way, we, you know, evil is getting bigger and bigger, and,
yeah.
and life is certainly not being worth much to most people.
Mm-hmm. If you think about this past year we've had and all the really devastating events that have happened, and we can't include the last school shooting in that,
mm-hmm.
you look back on this year and you cannot do that without coming to the conclusion that things are getting worse.
Oh, yeah.
Although there's a lot of good news out there, but, I mean, things are getting worse.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the way it's supposed to be.
But our Savior is returning soon, and I mean soon.
And I'm so glad about that. And I think that our producer found that song. So let's enjoy. Who's that by the way?
Huh.
You remember?
No.
Okay. Brenda Fossey.
Brenda Fossey.
Thank you, Derek. I always depend on you.
All right.
We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon.
The didgeridoo.
Oh.
That's the answer to the question. What were they playing? I don't know. That's
know,
a nice instrument,
I
though.
I know. I like that.
That was Brenda Fossey on Shofar Ministries Hour doing Soon and Very Soon. And that was really good
that
reggae
was
song.
Really good.
Whew. Well, welcome back to Shofar Ministries Hour. And before we get started again, do you have a question for Sheila? Or if you would like her to speak at your church or church group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. Some important reminders, your donations are still tax-deductible, at least for this year? This one coming?
You got it in yesterday.
You got it in yesterday.
No, it hasn't expired or
it hasn't expired. Okay. And, of course, these donations are your donation is very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. And believe me, this has been a blessing for me, and I know a lot of people are contacting us now and thanking us.
Thank the Lord.
We're going to defer that to God, who really started this ministry and has kept us on the air and sent us wonderful people. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your address, whether it's email or house address.
Right. Of course, I prefer email because you can print out your own copy, you can share with others, or what's really nice is that you can forward it to someone you care about. Mm-hmm. And do share the information, especially the mini gold nuggets. It often contains some great teachings, and they are also all archived on my webpage, shofarministries.net.
And when you visit shofarministries.net, be sure to check out the webpage. Sure to check out the newsletters and previous radio shows. And they're all there archived. And you can order DVDs off our website as well.
Right. And I just need to spell shofar because I got a letter from someone in prison actually recently and didn't know how to spell it. So it's S-H-O. F as in Frank, A-R, shofar, and that's Hebrew for ram's horn.
Okay, thank you. Can you? I would like you to spell your name when we go Sheila at shofarministries.net to contact you. Email. Sheila is, and I have problems with E before I in that rule, but it's Sheila spelled S-H-E-I-L-A.
It is.
Yes, and I goof up on that one. Well, anyway, the phone numbers are open. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. That's why we're here. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars this Friday and for the first Friday of every month because we are at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Sheila teaching and myself doing the worship music at 11815 Chillicothe Road. And that's Route 306. Begins at 7 p.m. Be there.
11815 Chillicothe Road.
Okay. Right. Well, let's see. We need to continue our topic, which is Babylon.
Mm.
And this is a very large topic.
It can be.
Yeah, and it has a lot of implications and facets to it. So where do you start on a topic this?
The one thing I try to do, and as you know me, John, I try to take things that are really the most important, what you need to know to apply it to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately, we can keep this quite simple and yet bring out what's important. So that's what I try to do, and with God's help,
amen.
Hopefully
God's
it will.
Help, we can do it.
So anyway, everything will be brought out as like an overall picture and then just highlight the necessary facts to enhance our goal.
And what is that goal?
Well, as you know, and we've said many times, the obvious goal of Shofar Ministries is for the righteous to wake up and know what time it is. And lately, over the last few months, which are all archived on our webpage, we have had some major eye-openers.
Woo, have we ever.
Yeah, myself included. With this research that I have to do in that, I've gotten some really cool insights, and I share most of them, not all of them, but the ones that are important. But that's why I'm so excited every week, is because every week I see something that just encourages me to stay excited.
So we're here to get you excited and to wake up. We're a big alarm clock for you,
yes,
for the church.
That's right.
We're the church's alarm clock. Some would say watchman on the wall. Would that be correct?
Yeah. The watchman that blows the shofar, absolutely.
Shofar, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as I have said many times on this program, and I'm going to say it again because we always get new listeners, I am very cautious about people's dreams and visions. And thus saith the Lord, quotes. Mm-hmm. Much of it. It's just the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I remain skeptical until I see at least a specific right-on past fulfillment or a partial fulfillment with the remainder yet to happen. And such is the case of last week's proven to be accurate account of Judah ben Samuel's vision from the 13th century. My conclusion to his prophecy, because I want to do a little bit of review to take us into the next one, was that I believe it showed us that all Israel will be saved by the year 2017, which is a Jubilee year for them. And if you go back and listen to the program from last week, you'll understand where I'm coming from. We know from Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Israel's knowledge of the Messiah happens as a result of God's intervention in the war of Gog and Magog. And most, including myself, know that this occurs during the tribulation because it uses the phrase "in that day."
Please listen to last week's program so you can realize it for yourself. Or our newsletter from December is also on our web. It's the last article.
That's right. On my newsletter, it's the last article.
Last article.
Yeah. And I'm telling you what, when I realized what "in that day" means many years ago,
mm-hmm.
it opened up the Bible as never before, because it really helps you understand, is it going to happen yet? Is it in the future?
Hmm.
Or has it already occurred?
Well, you know, in Genesis, very beginning of
That's
the
right.
Bible, it says that they're the sun and the moon and stars are for marking days and signs. And
that's that's what the prophet Joel predicted.
Mm-hmm.
He said a blood moon before the day of the Lord begins, and that was in where?
Joel 2:28.
That's right. We therefore connect the dots. You know, you got to connect the dots, people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since NASA says...
Oh, thank God for NASA. Really.
Well, it does help it when science and the Bible connect.
Mm-hmm.
But NASA says that we've got some coming blood moons that will occur in 2014 and 2015.
Mm.
And then here's the amazing part. They say it won't happen again in this century.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. And then what does that mean?
Well, to me, it points to the tribulation beginning in either 2014 or 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Very possible.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, I love it when science and the Bible connect like
That's
that.
That's right.
And, you know, eventually science will connect, will catch up to the Bible.
Oh, I know.
I believe that eventually.
Well, for sure. Now, the other amazing sign, and again, there's hundreds of signs. Hundreds.
Yes.
But I'd like to pinpoint things. And the other amazing sign that we discussed was the prophecy when Jesus said of the fig tree, which is a symbol for Israel, that he had just cursed, when it begins to bud again, that generation, or the average age of a man, which we know is 70,
mm-hmm.
that he is near. So I believe that all Israel shall know their Messiah by, well, you add 1948 to 70, you get 2018 at the latest. So we're seeing a lot of things happening between 2014 and 2018.
Now, just that information, church, if you really have an ear, should make your heart skip a beat. It made mine. And tonight, I'm told we even have more confirmation of our Lord's soon return.
I think a little bit more confirmation.
Well, you promised me some more.
Okay, if you insist.
Yes, we need... there's so many... You know, at first there was just a couple of signs, and then there were a few more, and now we're like every week something else is confirming this.
Right, because he wants us to know.
Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to know.
If we really know and get excited, then we'll tell others.
I'll tell you. This past year, because of this, I've been really getting excited.
Yeah. And everybody says, well, no one knows the day or the hour. And I understand all that. Mm. However, that really was an idiom or a phrase for the new moon.
Mm.
I mean, it really was. That's what they used when they didn't know when the new moon would be. Well, no one knows the day or the hour. And so when Jesus said that, he was giving them a clue. Mm-hmm. It would probably be on a new moon.
So, you know, if you're talking to Sheila or I and that you say, well, you can't know because of the day or hour, just be prepared for the answer.
That's the answer you will receive.
Yes.
But we're supposed to be ready at any time. It doesn't, you know.
In that respect, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, last week we talked about Judah's prophecy, who was a Jewish rabbi living in the 13th century. And this week I just want to show you another ancient prophecy. This time given to a Catholic bishop named Malachy. Now, he lived in the 12th century in the era of the first one world religion. Mm-hmm. You know, history repeats itself, so that was kind of like smaller in effect because it was just the empire, but still, it's a typology there. But before the Reformation, of course, and he had a vision as well, which because of its longevity now, almost 1,000 years, has had the time to be proven accurate. Now, Maliki gave a simple Latin motto, which is just like a two-word description, of every pope from the time of his vision, which was Pope Innocent II, to what he said would be the final pope through 111 popes from that time.
Hmm.
Now, these mottos that describe the popes can refer to a symbol of his country of origin, maybe to his name, to his coat of arms, to one of his talents, or to any other thing referring to the pope.
Hmm. Can you give a few examples on that?
Thank you for asking. I sure can. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it is all on the internet. You can just look up Maliki's prophecies, and it's all there.
Can I say this, too? It's,
yes.
It's kind of amazing, too, that he prophesied that there would be more popes. How was he to know that,
right,
you know, maybe they would go from a different, the One World Church would go to a different format later
correct
on?
Well, so, sure, he didn't know, but
he didn't
God
know
did.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying it's been proven through time
mm-hmm
that he's been correct. And when you see the descriptions that he's given for each pope, although some of it is a little difficult, it's done in Latin, and you might not know yourself what it means,
mm-hmm,
but the ones that I have seen,
well, give us a few
interpreted,
of these, mm-hmm,
seem right on. Okay, for example, the motto assigned to Urban VIII was Lilium a Rosa in Latin,
mm-hmm,
which means flower of the lily. Well, it turns out that he was from Florence, Italy, and on the coat of arms of Florence appears the lily flower. So there you have a description of what his coat of arms would have been.
That would be a motto, and that's the connection mm-hmm there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, how could he have known that? But, you know, God had to help that out, I would say.
I would say so, too.
So anyway, there's a lot of those on the internet, but I want to talk about, too, number 110.
Now, we're getting towards the end of this.
Yes. Now, mm-hmm, this was John Paul II, and I remember him. He was between 78 and 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, unfortunately, I didn't really care for him sometimes because he kissed the Quran and he said the Muslim was the same God. So that was not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
His motto that Maliki gave him was, you say it better than I do.
Well, it looks like De Labore Solis.
Yes, which means labor of the sun.
Hmm.
And John Paul II, he was a mover and a shaker. He did a lot of work. He labored heavily. He was always out there doing something, trying to, get the one world religion going. And what's interesting is that not only did he labor, which is part of the motto,
mm-hmm,
but labor of the sun, it's interesting that his birthday, when he was born, the day he was born and the day he died were both sun eclipses, solar eclipses.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Interesting.
Now, the last pope that he talks about is number 111, and he said would take the name of Benedict, and it's described as the glory of the olive.
Hmm.
Now, Ratzinger is his name.
Yes, that's it. Now he knew, and this is predicted by Maliki.
Maliki many, many years ago.
He said his name would be. He said the name would be.
Well, no, he's described as the glory of the olive,
okay,
which
okay
happens to
the
be the crest is an olive branch of the Benedictine order.
Oh, and we have Pope Benedict, who's
yes
named after the Benedict. Okay, well, that's
right,
pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it is this current pope's desire to continue in his predecessor's path to bring in all the faiths together with his real passion, though, which I don't think John Paul had. His passion of Benedict is to include Jews,
mm-hmm,
and has taken many positive steps to make amends for the past history that the Catholic Church has with the Jews and by visiting Israel to help mend these relations. The olive, as you know, is also a symbol for desiring peace, which is the motto of the Benedictines order. And the order is actually called the Olivetans.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book. And it just came out last month, actually. And the Pope's book is called Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in the book that the Jews were not responsible for Christ's death.
Wow. Now, that's heavy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really heavy for a Pope to say something
like that.
That's right.
And so the Jews are starting to,
he's getting,
like him a little better than the others.
Yeah.
Anyway. But what else I understand is that he admits that Jesus was not born in December. That's why I like him a lot. No.
Well, you think he may bring all these religions together?
Yeah, I think he's going to have a big party. He's already doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But again, he's just setting the stage for the one world religion.
So he's pretty popular in Israel because of those statements?
That's what I understand. And the government of Israel has inaugurated a special website dedicated to the Pope's pilgrimage to Israel. Now, our current Pope Benedict, again, the 16th, I do believe that he's just setting the stage.
He's setting the stage for the...
And it's working.
For the false prophet.
False prophet, right.
Wow. Well, what we really want to see here, though, is that Malachi prophesied 111 popes.
And that's where we're at today.
And that's where we're at today.
Right.
And then the last one, right?
Well, if there is another one, yes. But what's interesting is that, and I found this out by doing my research, that Malachi did stop at the 111th pope. He didn't do any more after that.
Oh, okay.
But it appears that the Benedictines devised Pope number 112, Patrius Romanus, to disassociate their order from the beast, who some say will be that last pope or the false prophet. So this is what I understand. And, you know, the Catholic Church does not have the best reputation.
Right.
So I could see them probably adding something like that. But I don't know.
We don't know. But the connections here are really fascinating. The evidence is piling up. We are at the end. And we are soon to be called home.
I think so.
And I think we should be joyful.
Yes.
That we are expecting him at a time that he is actually coming.
Well, and that's one of the reasons, too, why he's allowing these things to happen in the world, so that we will long for him. The harder it, tougher it gets on us, all of us, we'll long for his return even more.
Yes.
And he wants to give us those rewards.
Oh, yeah. So this Malachi was quite a guy.
Well, I understand that he was. Now, again, I wasn't around.
But
I just think it's just another one of those things that kind of add to, you know, do we need it? No, definitely not. Do you want to believe it? It's up to you.
Right.
I only present the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You decide.
You can do the research, too.
Oh, absolutely. I just give you clues and you do the rest. But Malachi was said to be very humble. Okay.
Hmm.
And don't forget, there wasn't any other religions at that time, so he could have been a real righteous guy.
He could have been, sure.
Yeah. And, but anyway, he accurately also predicted the date and hour of his death on November 2nd.
Now that is very
interesting. And the hour.
That sounds like a prophet almost.
Well,
he is a prophet, I guess so.
Yep, that's what we're talking about him.
But what about Babylon?
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's go back to the beginning and look at how Babylon crept into the church now. And we're going to go back to the church at Pergamum. And in fact, Pergamum is the foundation for the church of Thyatira in the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3.
Yeah. And I highly recommend this week that you go to the archives dated July and August 2010 and listen to when we previously taught on the seven churches before we get to our study next Tuesday. You can do that between now and next Tuesday. Go to that.
I highly recommend that.
Yeah, it's called the seven churches. It's very good teaching.
It will help you understand more easily how Babylonianism, which is a synonym for paganism, crept into the church, which got its start in Genesis. Officially with Nimrod. Remember, he was the son of Cush and the grandson of Ham. Noah's less admirable son?
Well, yes, he would be if he named him Ham.
Okay. Anyway, Nimrod went to Babylon in Iraq today, and in his pride thought he could build a tower to heaven. Now, according to the historian and author Alexander Hislop's book named The Two Babylons, Nimrod had a wife named Semiramis, and they had a son named Tammuz. This was the origin of the mother-child Babylonian cult, who, in other areas and down through the years, the names might have been changed, but the idea was the same, and it originated all in Babylon, called the mother-child cult.
Hmm.
Now, here's why. Semiramis claimed that she conceived, through an alleged miraculous conception, a virgin-born son who would be the salvation of mankind.
Hmm.
She named him Tammuz. And by the way, in Ezekiel 8:14, there's a mention of the women weeping to Tammuz, which is an abomination, by the way, because it's this mother-child Babylonian cult.
It's in Ezekiel 8:14.
Right.
Highly offensive to God.
Very. Yes. And because it's a false fulfillment of the promise of the seed, or at least they say, it's false that this seed was through Semiramis, when in actuality it was given to Eve. In Genesis 3:15. But it shows you how much Satan knows.
Well, yes.
You know, of course he was there. He heard it.
Yeah, he was standing. You know? He was standing right there.
He counterfeits everything.
He does. And he heard, he understood that the seed of the woman, knowing that it's always the seed of the man that, produces the child, the seed of the woman. So he thought he would do it because he wants to be like God. He wants to exalt himself to be like God.
That's right.
Just one.
But anyway, this began the spread and worship of the ancient Babylonian cult of the Queen of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Again, under different names, but Jeremiah warned the Israelites against offering sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven.
And you can find that in Jeremiah chapter 7 and chapter 44.
Yes, there's many varieties of this, but they're found in what we call paganism, but it stems from this threesome. Babylon was the seat of Satan, or Satan's throne.
Wow.
So, later, after the Persians conquered Babylon, remember the Medes and Persians took over in 539 BC?
I remember that because you've taught us to
remember
the kingdoms of the world and the order which they came into being.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they heavily discouraged the continuation of this mystery religions of Babylon. They didn't like it. They had their own faith that they wanted to practice, and it was called Zoroastrianism.
So, yeah, that's very good.
I know. I didn't even have it written down. But as a result, basically, they were kicked out. The Babylonians moved to Pergamum, where one of the seven churches of Asia Minor was talked about in Revelation 2.
Well, might be a good time right now to look at those first three churches in Revelation chapter 2 prophetically.
Yes, of course. Because if you take each church one at a time, it is the church age right from the beginning at Ephesus all the way to today's church at Laodicea. I'm going to have to go fast because we're running out of time. But the first church was the church of Ephesus. Ephesus, which means
darling,
okay,
or beloved,
and that was the beginning church. It started in 33 AD, started out gung-ho, and then lost its first love of intimacy, that espousal love, and that can preach, because we can still love God but not want to be intimate with him anymore.
Absolutely.
Now, we are familiar with Ephesus because Paul also wrote an epistle to the Ephesians to include marriage love and compare it with Jesus and his bride. Okay, that was the first church. Then about 100 AD, the next church was Smyrna.
Okay, and that's myrrh, which was an embalming spice.
Right, because there was a lot of death.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 5 million were martyred. It was called the Suffering Church.
Mm.
The church was used as a scapegoat because when the unrighteous began to experience pestilence and plague, they thought the gods were angry that Christianity was in their city.
Ah.
And, of course, it's similar to the Jews through the ages as well.
Yeah, being blamed for the plague. Mm-hmm.
But Smyrna is still thriving today and is called Izmir. And finally, now we move to Pergamus, which actually means...
mixed marriage.
Right. It's that bringing in paganism with Christianity. It began in about 312. It's the capital of Asia Minor, and it began the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Paganism was welcomed when the church married the world.
And that was Emperor Constantine's doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he declared Christianity the empire's mandatory religion. So they allowed the pagans to combine their feasts with Christianity. We had a one-world religion had begun and would flourish in the next church, which we're going to talk about next week.
Cool.
We have to close. We have to leave.
Okay. Well,
so I hope everyone will tune in next time so we can continue this Babylon saga.
Thank you very much. That was a great teaching, and I am more excited now than I ever was. And if Jesus is not Lord over your life, your whole life, or you are needing that intimacy with him that you haven't had in a long time, you love the Lord, but you're not intimate with him, you know, you can just get on your knees right now and repent. And tell him why. He understands. He's a forgiving God. If you turn and repent, he will pour out his spirit on you, I guarantee. And you will become interested again in the Bible and in his words. And you will want to be more intimate with him.
That's right.
And these are the times we live in where you do want to be intimate with God. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity if you've never made that decision to have Jesus as your Savior. Okay, you decide yourself, and we hope that our prayer is that you decide for heaven and not the other place.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see, should we do the Aaronic blessing?
I think we should.
Okay. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisimlecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Until then, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Psalm 122:6. And don't forget this Friday.
This Friday at Chester Christian, 11815 Chillicothe Road. In Chesterland.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.